Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I give God all the glory and all the honor. I want to first give the time to just thank the Lord for this opportunity. I want to thank Pastor Teddy, First Lady Marlene, Pastor Marcia for giving me the opportunity to give the word of God to you tonight. I want to thank everybody for coming this evening and wanting to hear the word of God and desiring the word. I also want to give a greeting to everybody that is watching over live stream right now. We thank you for being with us this evening. So I want to begin the word of God with a quick prayer. So let us bow our heads. Lord, we just thank you for another night in your kingdom, for it is better than 1,000 places elsewhere. Lord, I pray that you bless this message this evening, Lord. I pray that your people will take this word, Father God, and make it an action. I pray that your people will listen to you, Father God, and take it to heart, Lord. Lord, I pray that this word touches somebody, that it reaches your people, Father God, and that your purpose will be fulfilled in this message. Lord, we want your will to be done in all things that we do. So we thank you, Lord. This in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, have we brought our Bibles?
Yes.
For hallelujah. Let's dive into the word. Let's have fun. So, we are going to be mostly from the book of Revelations tonight. I know everybody's fond of the book of Revelations, as am I. We're going to be in Revelations chapter 3. And where I'm going to start is I'm going to start from verse 14. We're going to read the remaining of the chapter, but we're going to do that in sets. We're going to start from verses 14 to 16 first. All right, we have it on the live stream, and I'll go ahead and start reading that. It says the following, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, the title of my sermon this evening is the danger of lukewarmness. So I'm sure we have all heard the term of lukewarm. Usually we use the word when we're talking about temperature. It's neither hot nor cold, but it's just kind of right in the middle, lukewarm as you call it. Another way people use the word lukewarm is to describe people or maybe a crowd of people that might be indifferent to something. Maybe like a lukewarm reception, as you say. Well, in the Bible, as we just read, it used lukewarm to describe a certain people, the Laodiceans. And to really understand lukewarm and the dangers that it presents, I feel we must talk about the root of it or the origins of it, which comes from the church of the Laodiceans. So first, I want to start with a brief history of the Laodiceans as far as their geographical location. So for those of you that do not know, and I thank the Bible study tools, specifically Stephen Baker, for his knowledge that I was able to stumble upon. So the city of Laodicea, is currently in the Asia Minor, which has always been. Today, that is the western region of Turkey. It was a city between two other cities. It is a city between Hierapolis, which is to the north of it, and another city called, forgive me for my pronunciation, Colossae, which is where the book of Colossians, which is where Paul wrote the book of Colossians to the people, that city, and that is to the south of it. What's unique about the city of Laodicea is that it was a city full of wealthy people, and it had three main lines of production. We'll get to those productions a little later. But the main point of that is, one of the things that the people lacked was a steady resource of water. The water there was unusable, per se. And what is funny about that is the cities neighboring it, for example, Hierapolis, had a steady stream of water that was hot. That water that they had was used for medical purposes, like hot springs, for relaxing the body and for nurturing the body. And then their other neighbors, the city of Colossae, they had cold, refreshing, drinkable water that they could use. And however, the people or the city of Laodicea, their water source was unusable. They had pipes running into their city to get water. But when that water finally reached the people, it was lukewarm. It was neither cold nor hot, but it was lukewarm. And there were minerals in there that made it useless for any means. So why am I telling you this tonight? We have to really understand that our Lord is wise beyond our very means. And he uses so many metaphors that really, really stick to the people that he's addressing. So he knew the people, and specifically the church of Laodicea, would understand what he is talking about, because that's what they're living. So when he mentions that they're neither hot or cold, they can relate that to their own lives, their own production, their own means of survival. And that's where the word lukewarm comes from. So just a brief introduction to the history of that word and what the people were actually living. So what is really the dangers of lukewarmness for the people of God today? How does this relate to really us? As I'm sure you know, when you're hot, when you're on fire, when you have that passion of God, you're in a good spot. When you realize that you are cold in the things of God, it's not necessarily a good spot. But the Lord can work with that. However, what does the Word of God say about people who are lukewarm? In verse 16, it basically describes it. If you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. When you put that in context, we have to know who our God is. Our God is full of grace, mercy, and love. So the fact is, the fact that he said, I will spit you out of my mouth, I want nothing to do with that. Isn't that very powerful right there? What could make our Lord say, I want nothing to do with you, I'm spitting you out of my mouth? That is lukewarmness. So how does it happen? What is the true danger of lukewarmness for the people of God? I'm going to focus on us specifically, the people of God. So it's like this. When I would say majority of us, not all of us, I'm going to assume, are hot for the things of God. We're on fire. We would desire and pursue the things of God on a consistent basis. But the thing with lukewarmness is that it can sneak up on you. All of a sudden, let's say you go to every single service, every single time the church is open, you're there. Has there ever been a thought that came to your mind that, oh, you know, it's been a long day. I just came from work, or I had to take care of the kids or something like that, and like, maybe I'll skip a service. And what if that trend continues? You see, it's those little thoughts, right? Maybe I can come next time. Or maybe I can kind of take that away. Or, you know, maybe I usually pray at this time, give this time set for the Lord. But, you know, I kind of ran into some issues with errands or stuff came up. I'll do it tomorrow. But what if that tomorrow happens to the next week or the next day or the next, and becomes a habit? What if it starts to become your daily routine of putting the things of God to the side? Lukewarmness starts to creep into your spirit. And that's a dangerous thing. And I have an analogy for lukewarmness that I was able to come up with by the grace of God. So let's just say, for example, whether you're preparing for dinner or you're cleaning up for dinner, you have to use your sink, right? To clean up stuff, to wash your hands. Let's say you're washing your hands. You turn the faucet a little too hot. Your hands are all of a sudden burning up. You're not really comfortable with that, right? That's too hot. I don't want that. So then you turn the other faucet, the cold faucet, a little too high. Now you're kind of chilly. You're getting a little cold. I wanna balance that out. Then you have it in the perfect spot. Both faucets in the perfect spot. You have a perfectly warm and nice water running into your hands. You feel comfortable, right? Like, it's not too hot, not too cold. I'm relaxing. That's cool. That's the danger right there. The biggest danger when it comes to lukewarmness is that you grow comfortable in lukewarmness. And I'll tell you this right now. Might be a little controversial, might be a little harsh, but it's got to be said. I've been told to say it. A comfortable Christian is no Christian at all. I guess I'm going to have to repeat myself for the people of God and for the live stream. Yes, folks, a comfortable Christian is no Christian at all. Because if you're comfortable, what's pushing you to go to the next level? Why do you feel the need to continue to add works to your faith? Or why would you want gifts if you feel comfortable where you're at? Why would you desire much of anything? I want to harken back to Pastor Ted's message earlier this morning titled The Grace and the Gifts. Pastor Teddy asked a very great question this morning that I want to bring to your remembrance. He asked the people of God, man, there are so many gifts of the Spirit, right? So why don't the people accept these gifts? He gave three answers that were really great. I think they fit the nail perfectly. He gave one answer that I felt, even if you're cold or you're hot, you could fall into that. It makes sense. But the other two answers, one of them was a cold answer, one of them was a lukewarm answer. I will bring those to your remembrance. The first answer that he had was that they don't know about it. You don't have the knowledge about it. So if you don't know the gifts exist, how can you retain those gifts? And that can happen to any of us, whether you're cold or you're hot. You don't know everything. Though we are warned in the book of Hosea 4:6 that my people perish due to what? Lack of knowledge. So will that really be an excuse? No, not to the Lord. Yeah, it was right there. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the one thing about the lukewarm people, and I'll get to the answer shortly, is that some of them think they're comfortable because they think they know it all sometimes. For some people, they think their knowledge is just enough. They know everything to know about the Bible. They know the Bible inside out, for some Christians. They feel, what can you teach them? What can I learn? But that's pride right there. That's ego right there. And if you feel like you know everything, what's the need to research anything else? You become a stagnant Christian, which is never good for your spiritual self. So the first answer was they did not know about it. The second answer that he gave was that they know about it, but they don't want it. See, that's the cold answer right there. If you don't desire the things of God, you ain't hot. You ain't lukewarm. You're just cold. You don't want nothing to do with it. You have something right at your disposal, a great thing, many gifts. You say, nah, no thank you. You're cold. But here comes the lukewarm answer, the third answer that he gave. It's that they know about it, but they're comfortable where they're at. They're like, yeah, that sounds great, but you know, I'm doing good enough with the gifts I got already. You're satisfied. But the Word of God wants us to be hungry for more of it. We're supposed to hunger for, we're supposed to thirst for the things of God. And it never tells us to stop. We're not supposed to stop praying. We're not supposed to stop fasting. We're not supposed to start desiring more knowledge. We're supposed to keep going. So if you feel satisfied or you feel like you're in a good spot, that could be a warning sign to you right now that you might be a little stagnant. And again, that's a very dangerous place to be. Never be comfortable, folks. If you are really the real deal, when it comes to your faith, you're always in the fire. And the fire never gets old. It's always new. It's always new. A new challenge, a new obstacle, a new expansion, a new idea that you didn't think possible. When you're in the fire, you're always renewed. You never grow old or stagnant. So none of our portions. Amen. Amen. So I want to focus back on the people of Laodicea, because I feel that they are a great lesson to the church now and always. So I want to give you a little bit more information about these people, but I want to go to the book of Revelations. We're going to go to verse 17 on chapter 3, just to talk about what the Lord said about the people. Again, for more context, again, the people of Laodicea were wealthy and prosperous. They had a lot. But the Lord says this about them. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Woo! Imagine that. Imagine you're on the top of the world. You think you have all the riches in the world. You need for nothing. You're all good. But yet, the Lord thinks you're naked. You're wretched. You're almost nothing to him. So it's always funny. We like to see what we want to see from people. From an outside point of view, you think these people are wealthy people. They're good. But we have to remember, the Lord always sees the inner man. He don't really care about what you have physically, because those are gifts from him anyway. But if on the inside, if your spirit man is blind, well, that right there, they are spiritually wretched, spiritually miserable, spiritually poor, spiritually blind, and spiritually naked to me. And what does that say about them? They can have all this. All this is vanity. You can have all the things in the world. But what does it mean to you if the Lord thinks of you this way? So I use them to say this. Be careful. Never forget where you were before the Lord, before you were with the Lord, is what I want to say. You can get all the promotions. You can get all the financial blessing. You can be the head honcho or the head scientist or whatever. You can be the man of the or woman of wisdom. But in the end of the day, the Lord's got to be your number one. If your priorities are not in order and not in check, you're not in a good spot. So always make sure God is first in your life. By doing that, you avoid the danger of lukewarmness. Because lukewarm people think everything is good with the things of God. They assume that just because maybe they give charity to people, like how these people were, they were charitable people, they gave to each other and to other things, that they thought they were good, that, hey, I have all these works, or I do this and I do that. But what does it matter if you don't have faith? Faith without works, or works without faith, is just as dead as faith without works, right? So you have to have both in order to avoid lukewarmness. Never stop working and never stop having faith. Always keep grinding in both assets. So some more interesting facts about these people, and it'll put in context, strong context of the next verse that we're going to go over soon. So I mentioned earlier that the city of Laodicea had three major industries that they prospered and excelled at. One of the things they had first was a good baking center, a big baking center where they exchanged gold amongst each other. They got it from the banks. They also had a medical school. And specifically that medical school, they they were really good with an eye salve. A little, think of it like a powder that you put over your eyes to help with healing or to help with seeing. So they were especially good with eye technology or medical. Then they had a textile center. So one of the things they had was wool. They were rich in wool, specifically black wool, and they wove that into garments that they made. One of the things about these people that we should know about is that they prided themselves on wearing that black clothing as it signified their wealth, their prosperity, how good they look or how big they are. Remember these three components as we go to verse 18. They're all going to show. Can I get verse 18? So, this is what the Lord told these people, the church of Laodicea, to do. He said, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. We're going to stop right there and really tear that apart. The first thing that I just told you guys was that they had a banking center for gold exchange, that these people are very wealthy people. So why then does the Lord say, the very first thing it says, buy from me gold refined by fire? Well, we got to look at the symbolization of that as well. The gold, and this is this information that I got from, I think it was a nice YouTube channel. I'm going to give them credit soon when I find it. But the gold, tried in fire, that symbolizes faith in trials, does it not? When your faith is put to the test, you really find out what you're made of. So even though these people are rich, they don't have no faith. And when that faith is tried, they falter. So even though they are rich physically and materially, they are poor spiritually. And so the Lord, that's just you being poor in general. So they were first commanded, get gold refined by fire by me. Going back to it, that you may be rich. And it says, white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Once again, these people prided themselves on wearing black garments to signify their wealth, to signify that they have so much. But what does the Lord tell them to do? He tells them to wear white garments to cover their nakedness. What does that say? That tells me that these people, they can put all the clothes they want to, spiritually, they're not covered. As a matter of fact, one of the things that's very dangerous about lukewarmness is that you may think that you're covered, but you're under a false covering. Or no covering at all. And that opens you up to a whole bunch of stuff. The enemy can come and attack you, and you're wondering, why the heck is he having a foothold or having authority here? Because you're not covered. And the white garment represents the righteousness of Christ that we need to cover ourselves in. You're not covered by his righteousness when you're lukewarm. Or you think you're covered by his righteousness when you're lukewarm, when you're really not. You're exposed. You're spiritually naked. You don't even know about it. That's a scary thought. These people thought they were all good, that they're doing what they're supposed to do, yet they were spiritually naked. And the last thing the Lord says is, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. These people had a whole medical school where they created this eye salve. They were using it on everybody and themselves, but the Lord's saying, man, you need to use that on yourselves more to see. Why? Because spiritually they were blind. They were unaware. They didn't know what was going on. Again, when you're lukewarm, you don't see. You don't see God's plans. You don't see God's purpose in your life. You're just comfortable where you're at, again. So even if God's trying to push you to your purpose, you don't know where he's taking you. So there's and that gives you some doubt there. And that's where lukewarmness can start to slip into coldness. You never want that. Although it might be better to be cold than to be lukewarm. Because if you stay lukewarm, what's the Lord going to do to you? He's going to spit you out. So it's better to be even cold than lukewarm. So why am I saying all this? These people, the people of Laodicea, this was where they made their fortune. This is where they had the reputation of being rich and a resilient people. But yet the Lord used all that against them. He essentially said, you think you're great at this, but you actually lack all of it. Because again, we sometimes only focus on what we're doing physically. But the Lord always sees the spiritual. And he sees past everything that we do or try. What's so sad about the church of Laodicea, and the Lord addressed seven churches in the book of Revelation from chapter 2 to chapter 3. If you actually read it, The church of Laodicea was the only church out of the seven that didn't have one good thing said about them. All the other churches, there was something. There was something that the Lord was able to pull and say, that's a good thing. But this church had none of that. There was nothing but reproach and reproof. That's the damage that lukewarmness can do to us, folks. Because what can the Lord work with in your life with that? When you're hot, he can do a lot of things with you. He can take you a lot of places. When you're cold, I think of the Apostle Paul, the man who was, you know, killing Christians, remember? Cold as it can be, he changed his life around and made him one of his strongest soldiers. When you're lukewarm, when you're back and forth, what do you do but spit you out? That's mediocrity. There's nothing to do with that. So again, do not fall into the trap and the danger of lukewarmness by being comfortable. Never stay comfortable. A comfortable Christian, once again, is not a Christian or a believer. You just are. And that's never a good thing. So, how do we combat lukewarmness? And like all things, the Lord always gives us an answer. I want to go to verses 19 through 21. And this is how it is. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. I'm going to stop right there. There's a simple answer for lukewarmness. Be zealous. Take it seriously. Never take things for granted when it comes to the things of God. When you put it in your mind that I got to pray or give God this certain amount of time, stick to it. Commit to it. Keep doing it. Never stop praying. Never stop fasting. Never stop coming to the church. Never forsake the gathering of the brethren. Always keep going. And repent. The Lord reproves those who he loves, and he loves us. And he knows that we will fall short sometimes. We all fall short of the glory of God, right? We all do. But we have to be humble. We have to have humility. And we got to come to our Father and say, Lord, forgive me, for I'm not as on fire as I used to be, and I've grown into lukewarmness. And guess what? The Lord will pump you with fire. He'll give you your hunger and your desire back. There was always a way to escape lukewarmness, and that's with action. So take action. Do something about it. If you're lukewarm, step into the fire. Ask the Lord, Lord, how do I get into this fire? You might have to do something uncomfortable, but again, an uncomfortable Christian, that's how you know you're real. That's how you know you're a real believer, when you're uncomfortable, because the Lord will put you in those spots. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. The Lord's always there. He never leaves. Whether you're cold, you're lukewarm, you're hot, he's there and he's knocking on the door. Let him in. Dine with the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. Pray. And wait and listen to what the Lord has to say to you and what he's telling you to do. Because God will always answer our prayers. It might not be immediate as we all like, but he answers our prayers. So stay, wait, and listen for what the Lord has to say to you. Invite him in, spend time, set aside that time, and be consistent with it. Verse 21 says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He's the ultimate example. And look, folks, you're not going to be conquering anything just sitting on your sofa and relaxing. I've never heard of anybody conquering a city, conquering anything by just relaxing or being comfortable. Right? you got to get up and do it. You got to get up and seize it. Seize what's yours. Seize what the devil tries to take from you. You gotta fight for what you got. We're always in spiritual warfare. That never stops, even though we know that the battle is already won and that we have the victory. It's still something that we still have to do by ourselves and with God with us. We still have to take action and do it, folks. So, in saying all this, I want us all, myself included, and everybody on the live stream to look at yourself. Really look into yourself, your spiritual man. And see and have an honest conversation or honest look at yourself and say, am I still on fire? Is the fire still burning in my spirit? Or has the fire dimmed down a little bit? Or a lot of bit? Do I feel a little colder than usual? It might be that lukewarm starting to sneak onto you. Ask yourself, have I been a little lackadaisy with the things of God? Have I been a little comfortable, a little too comfortable? Ask yourself why. Ask the Lord why. He'll tell you. And he'll get your actions together. I want to pray for all of us tonight and for those who are watching on live stream that if there's a spirit of lukewarmness or if lukewarmness is beginning to crawl into your spirit, man, that we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. That we rekindle and reignite the fire that is within each and every single one of us. And if we never had that fire, if there is a new believer who might be on a little cold side of things and wants that fire for the first time, we're going to pray for that as well. So, in conclusion, I'm going to end this with a word of prayer for a reignition of our fire. So, Father God, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this lesson about the Laodiceans people. And Lord, that conveying what you're trying to tell us through their actions, Father God, and through what they were going through, Lord. Lord, I pray for each and every single person under the sound of my voice right now. Lord, I pray for those who feel that they have begun to slip into lukewarmness. Lord, I pray and rebuke right now the spirit of lukewarmness in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for a rekindling of the fire and passion that is within your people today in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that as the fire begins to reunite in them once again, Father God, that they have a visitation from you, Lord. That they begin to have gifts that they never knew they had. Lord, I pray, Father God, for the next level for your people. I pray, Father God, that you begin to show them new things, new dreams, new visions, Lord. New blessings, Father God, new anointing, Father God. Let the old man go and let the new man come, Lord. Lord, for those who may be on the cold side and working their way to fire, Father God, we give them a boost right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, that they desire and hunger for the knowledge of God. Lord, that they desire your word, Father God, that they desire to serve your kingdom, Lord, that they have a new passion for the things of God. Lord, and when they are faithful, bless their faithfulness, bless the work of their hands, bless all that is that they touch and do, and all the plans that you have for them, may it come to fruition. Lord, I pray that as your people begin to feel the fire from you, Lord, fire from heaven, Lord, that they begin to remember all the prophetic words or all the promises that you have for them, Lord, and that it will all come to pass in the name of Jesus. Remind the Lord that you have not forgotten what you promised to them. But let them remember, Father God, who you are and what you brought them from, Lord. May they begin to feel a spirit of thanksgiving as the fire washes over them, Lord. And Lord, that may this new fire be even stronger, brighter, and run longer than any fire that we previously had ever before. We thank you, Father God, for the renewal of our minds, the renewal of our spirit, Lord, and the renewal of our commitment to the things of God. We thank you, Lord, and we worship and bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. This in Jesus' name and the people of God say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Give the Lord a big clap again. He's worthy to be praised. We are all blessed. Praise the Lord. Let's continue to worship the Lord with our tithe and offering. Let's lift our hands throughout this offering, begin to open our mouths. Lord, we thank you, we worship you. Father, we thank you for this. You have blessed us so much, O Lord, out of the abundance. We are presenting this before you, Lord. Bless, O Lord, bless us. Let there be open heavens. Let there be more blessings upon your people. Father, this that we present, Lord, increase and multiply it. So I will use it to spread the gospel around the whole world. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.